Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. I'd like to look ahead at the Feast of Corpus Christi, which falls this Thursday. I'd like to turn to the Superior General of the Clerics of St. Viator, Father Mark Francis, to whom I recently put a number of questions regarding the sacrament of the Eucharist. I did so simply because he is one of the many liturgists and sacramental theologians who attended and indeed was a relator at the 2004 Synod focusing on the Eucharist, which took place here in the Vatican. Pope Benedict recently published the concluding document of that event, a document more precisely referred to as the Post-Synodal Exhortation Sacramentum Caritatis on the Eucharist as the source and summit of the Church's life and mission. But getting back to Father Mark Francis, when I prepared the questions for my interview with him, I realised right away that to speak of the Eucharist was to speak of the centre of our faith. After all, not only does this sacrament encompass who we are as Christian people and give us an identity, but it's also one of those things we always go back to and draw from in an effort to understand who we are as Catholics. What I soon discovered was that it's a subject we can't really exhaust. The questions it involves are so many. So I began very simply by going back in time to the days of the early church. I asked Father Francis what happened in those days.
Most scholars believe the Eucharist developed directly from the Paschal meal. Of course, the three synoptic gospels speak of the Eucharist being celebrated in a Paschal context. Passover, where Jesus gathered with his disciples and shared this meal, which in a very real sense was a culmination of his ministry, the last meal he shared with his disciples, which in a real sense was a meal that put the capstone to what Jesus meant for the world. Because he sat at table with his disciples, with sinners, and through the signs of bread and wine, he inaugurated the new covenant in his blood.
How has this changed in our modern world? Has it changed at all? Has it changed since Vatican II? Or what is the meaning of the Eucharist in the modern world? It hasn't changed at all.
Well, there are books written on this topic. The Eucharist hasn't changed. It's the same Eucharist, but we keep on plumbing the depths of what the Eucharist means for us. In a real sense, after Vatican II, we recovered several modalities of understanding the Eucharist that were obscured during many centuries. For example, the Eucharist as meal. One of many meals where Jesus sat down with people during his earthly ministry, the Eucharist represents also that aspect of how Jesus came to teach us about God, to bring us together, to reconcile us one to another and to God. And so this idea of meal is very important, as well as the whole idea of sacrifice, which was so emphasized in the Middle Ages.
What about the Eucharist as a sacrament of healing?
And that certainly is true. And the Eucharist represents for us the very presence of Christ. And so when we're in the presence of Christ, this presence is a healing presence, a presence that brings peace, a presence that brings unity. The Eucharist does all of that for us as Christians.
It has a huge drawing force. I've heard priests say, or even lay people say, that they have problems with a lot of teachings of the church, but they're very drawn to the Eucharist. I've heard this said a lot of times. Why is it that the Eucharist is so special to us?
Well, the Eucharist, in a real sense, focuses through sign and symbol and the community that's gathered, who we are as Christians. And we get a sense of what the church really is when we're gathered for Eucharist, not when we talk about ideas, but when we gather and worship together and experience that healing and reconciling presence, which is Christ in the Blessed Sacrament.
We are taught as Catholics that while the sacrament of baptism is the beginning of a new life, the sacrament of the Eucharist nourishes us with Christ's body and blood, no? My question is, if we are given full citizenship rights as Christians through baptism, are we not automatically given the right to be nourished through communion? In other words, is the Eucharist a gift and not a right?
You put your finger on a question that has recurred time and again in Christian history. The Roman Church, or the Western Church, because of various historical reasons, after baptism, waited for the children or the people who have just been initiated to receive the Eucharist. Much of this has to do with the fact that the confirmation was only conferred by bishops and they weren't always readily available and around. But in the Eastern Church, right after baptism, the child who's just been baptized, the baby who's just been baptized, is given the Eucharist. Because that the baptism does indeed symbolize our being incorporated into the body of Christ and therefore our ability to receive the body and blood of Christ. One theologian once commented that in the Western Church, as soon as we baptize a little child, we immediately excommunicate him until the child is prepared to receive communion much later. And so there are various traditions within the church, but the theology is, as you mentioned at the beginning of your question, that when we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we are baptized into the body of Christ and therefore given communion in that body of Christ through the Eucharist.
Speaking from my own experience, before Vatican II, there was a greater emphasis, perhaps, on purity before receiving communion. I'm thinking of those long fasting hours that were then in place to better prepare oneself for such a solemn moment. That's what one was taught, anyway. And indeed, that stronger idea of confession there was in those days.
And in a way, that's kind of a shame, isn't it? In the sense that when we speak with other Christians from the East, for example, Orthodox Christians, they still retain this idea of reception of the Eucharist as something very, very important and something that you have to prepare for and simply not that is taken as a matter of course. I think that the pendulum needs to kind of swing back kind of in the center again in terms of saying that what we do when we receive the Eucharist is something extremely important, that it needs to be prepared for. It's not just something we do unconsciously or without thinking. How that preparation is done, whether it be through confession, sacramental confession before, through recollection, through whatever we do to prepare ourselves, we, of course, need to do that and to take seriously the reception of the body and blood of Christ.
You know, while preparing this interview, as I said earlier, I got the feeling that the Eucharist is something that is inexhaustible in terms of what we could speak about. Why is that, do you think?
Tradition of the church is so amazing in terms of bringing us into the very mystery of why Christ came to save us, the whole question of the incarnation, the whole question of who we are as Catholics is really encompassed by the Eucharist, which is the principal sacrament of the church. And so it's something that we can continually return to, and we can reflect on to our own spiritual benefit, but also it gives us a means of communicating our faith one with another. And so that's the precious gift that God has given us and Jesus has given us in this Eucharist.
Something very mysterious about the Eucharist, isn't there?
Well, the term mystery, you know, is used in the Eastern Church to describe what a sacrament is. And mystery, again, is something that can be only apprehended by the eyes of faith. And so we come into this presence of Christ, the sacramental, mysterious presence of Christ, with the eyes of faith. That the whole question of the Eucharist drawing us into the body of Christ, drawing us into communion one with another, is indeed a sacrament, is indeed a mystery in its most profound sense.
My gratitude there goes to liturgist and sacramental theologian, Superior General of the Clerics of St. Viator, Father Mark Francis. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.